Welcome to The Kentucky Psychologist, a podcast by the Kentucky Psychological Association. The Kentucky Psychologist will get into the minds of top psychologists from Kentucky, and occasionally friends from across the country. We will talk about what leading mental health experts are interested in and excited about. Hear about all the ways psychologists in clinical practice, research, leadership, and applied settings are improving and saving lives. All right. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to welcome Dr. Georgianne Brown here today to speak with us. And we're going to go over some of her experiences and what she's found in her work with KPA as well. So welcome very much, Dr. Brown. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate the opportunity.
For sure. Okay, well, why don't we just go ahead and jump right in, and I'll ask you to introduce yourself, your current position, any like memberships or affiliations, and whatever you find relevant to how you define your work.
Great, yeah. Well, I am a clinician at heart. I have been in practice for 20 years, if you count when I was licensed at the master's level. I've received my doctorate in 2007, so I'm no longer early career at this point. And so I've been in practice for a long time in different settings, and I have worked most, I guess, significantly, or the most amount of time, I worked in Transylvania's counseling center. I started the on-campus counseling center there in 2007, and I was there until 2016, and then I'm currently in private practice at True North Counseling and Development. I have been very passionate about nonprofit work, and that includes all of my work at the Kentucky Psychological Association. I've held multiple positions. I first was involved in KPA as the clinical interest section leader, and that kind of got me introduced to KPA and what they do. And I really got interested in advocacy at that time, even though I was supposed to be the clinical interest rep, although I think it goes hand in hand. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. I got very interested in advocacy at the time. I loved seeing the work that Dr. Sheila Schuster was doing. Dr. Lisa Wilner at that time was the executive director and was really wanting to expand advocacy that KPA was doing to be more have more members involved. And so that was really exciting to me. Dr. Felicia Smith was the KPA president at the time and was on board with that and very much trying to increase KPA's advocacy activities beyond our amazing lobbyist, Dr. Sheila Schuster. So I got very involved in that. At the time, they created something called an advocacy chair, which had never existed as far as I know. And that was my first role that was related to advocacy in KPA. Now, that role no longer exists because it evolved over time as we figured out what we were doing in terms of our advocacy activities. So that became eventually the legislative chair. That's the role that I've had for a significant amount of time in KPA. Mm-hmm. Now, I recently just stepped down as chair, in this season of life. I'm still a member of the legislative committee, but I'm very pleased to still be involved. But I did step down as chair last month. I've also held the role of federal advocacy coordinator. I've been on the political action committee, and I've been on several other committees. One of the things I have been very involved in is I've chaired every psychology day that KPA has had at the Capitol since 2014, I think was the first one I chaired. Oh, so wow. That's something that I have done every year, and I've something I'm very passionate about, something I've loved doing. So I'm not sure I answered every question that you asked in the intro, but that gives you a little bit of an intro and in what I've done with KPA.
Yes, that's awesome. Okay, very cool. Well, I'm just curious, it sounds like a lot of your KPA work surrounds like legislation and more political side of advocacy. So I'm curious why you kind of found yourself in that area specifically.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of different ways to advocate. Advocating on the legislative level is definitely not the only way. I think I was just really drawn to that. I definitely was impressed with what Dr. Schuster was doing. I went to a graduate program that actually focused on both clinical psychology and community psychology. And I was very much interested in just how kind of the macro level policies impact all of us and impact individuals. And there's a lot of different ways I learned, you know, in my community psychology program, what that looks like. But I think influencing policy was extremely important to me, just because I think it has so much power over people's lives. And I think psychologists often are not involved in that area. I think that's changing, but we've been under-involved historically in policy decisions. And I think we are the people that need to be at the table, because I think we have a lot to offer. I think we have a lot of knowledge. I think we care about people. So I think we really are the right people to help to influence policy and help to inform what the research looks like and what best practices look like, and really just be compassionate to all people. So that's one of the things I just felt like was a great way to advocate for others, is through policy and getting involved in that particular realm.
I love that you emphasize that psychologists belong and just are a good fit for political or legislative advocacy, because I feel like we don't necessarily fit the kind of profile of how someone thinks about politicians. So right.
Right. But
we do belong there too. Yeah. Very cool. Well, just kind of backing up a bit in general, what made you decide to pursue a career in psychology in general?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, probably I would love for it to be super profound, but probably like a lot of 18-year-olds, you know, I was like, the classic, I loved my general psychology class in college. My first year of college, I loved it. I was thinking, oh, I want to help people. This is a great way to help people. So it started out as very much kind of, you know, bright-eyed, naive 18-year-old thinking that this was a great way to have an impact on the world. But as I got immersed in psychology and I pursued the degree, I really felt just validated that this was the right path for me, because there was so much that I knew that I could do, that it was, you know, not, you know, okay, I could be a therapist, but there's so many other ways that I could impact people by studying psychology, whether that was through research or teaching, consulting. And that's when I first learned about advocacy, is actually my senior year in psychology. In undergrad, I learned about the APA Congressional Fellowship, and that really intrigued me, that's a role that psychologists could have. And that's one of the reasons I chose the dual clinical community psychology program, because I really wanted that opportunity to look at all the ways that I could impact my community for the better and help individuals in the process. And I haven't really looked back.
Wow. That's a great story. Yeah. I had a similar path where I also didn't have like a great aha moment of becoming a clinician or anything, just, you know, liking the classes and following the path there. So yeah. When you're talking about, you know, how, I mean, from the beginning, it sounds like advocacy was such a big part of how you thought about what you wanted your career to be like. And it's so cool that through that APA program, you learn more about how political advocacy could be. But I am interested in how all of those experiences shaped how you define advocacy.
Yeah, I think that I did have some interesting experiences that helped define what I thought advocacy was. I think it started in, you know, especially, well, I learned about, you know, that opportunities that existed when I was a senior in college. And then when I went to graduate school, I saw psychologists that were really doing the work. You know, they were, I went to the University of South Carolina, and we were in the capital of South Carolina. And I had a professor, Dr. Wandersman, who worked with the legislators and the state level. He also formed a lot of community partnerships and community coalitions. So I got to see that work, which was really interesting to me. I think it helped me to just see that really this community involvement and getting all the stakeholders involved and also involving people that have positions of power are really crucial to getting what you need. That, you know, I started participating in some activities. You know, one of the things that we participated in, like my first year, was the Confederate flag was on the State House in Columbia, South Carolina, when I went to school there. And as students, we formed a group, you know, we marched with others in the community saying that we wanted, you know, we that needed to be taken down, and ultimately was taken down, but it wasn't then when it happened. We were able to make, they did move it to the state, off the Capitol to the state grounds. But that felt, and it felt like, you know, maybe we helped a little bit, but it was still on the state grounds. And then eventually it was removed after the tragic shooting in Charleston. It was removed shortly after that. But at the time it felt like, okay, this is the way to get things done, is to work with other people, to use our voices, to let, you know, people know that, you know, this isn't okay, that, you know, or this is what we need. And this is, this is something that we all really need to come together to work on.
Yeah. It makes sense. So a lot of, how do I say, like empowering with each other on making change. Yeah. I like that shift from, like, I've been thinking about definitions of power. You know, they have like power over or power to do something, but the most like heavily weighted one towards community action is like power with others to make change. So I can hear that in how you think about advocacy.
Yes, I truly think that the more voices that are heard, the more powerful we are. And so when I was asked to contribute a picture for this, I contributed a group picture because I felt like that was better representation of what advocacy is, that it's a group effort, that we as individuals do have a voice and it's helpful to speak up, but we have power in groups. And I think psychologists have that influence, that we really can use our influence as a group for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. I know that can be somewhat daunting for some psychologists if they haven't gotten as involved as you have. So I'm curious, you know, how did you decide to join KPA and get started on these advocacy efforts?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I had some friends that were involved in KPA. One of my friends who eventually moved out of state, so she's no longer involved, but she was a very good friend of mine and really encouraged me to get involved. And for a while I had very, very small children and I was like, just wait, you know. And then finally I was like, you know what? I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to get involved. And so I, once I got involved, I really liked the energy in KPA. I liked, again, I think as a group, I could see the value of our group efforts and not trying to be lone wolves and, you know, a psychologist and kind of all doing our own private practices here and there. But we really could, you know, again, as a group, we really could make something, you know, make more happen as a group and a group effort. So I love the energy. I had a lot of respect for those that were involved at the time, too many to list, you know, to list here, but, you know, but again, Dr. Lisa Wilner was a part of that group. And I was very heavily influenced by her. I think one of the tipping points for me in getting more involved in advocacy was when, when I learned about the school shooting in Newtown. And, you know, for me, that was a pivotal moment, even though I had been very concerned about gun violence before that. I think just having kids at that age around that time, it was just a little bit of a wake up call in terms of like, this is time for me to do more. And I say that carefully because, you know, there's been times where people have wanted to associate mental health with gun violence, and I don't want that association to be, to necessarily, you know, be making that association, because too often the mental health, you know, mentally ill are blamed for gun violence, which is not true. That's a myth. But it just sort of made me realize I needed to get involved more, that it was time, because there were people that were making decisions that impacted all of us. And I felt like we needed more reasonable voices at the table, and we needed the voices of psychologists. So that was just one of those moments that propelled me into action, that I needed to do whatever was in my power to just be more involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. You hear about those kinds of community violence events, and sometimes they trigger more short-term efforts, but I love to hear that this was something that just committed you to a dedication of work. It's a big deal to hear an experience that you had so long ago continues to influence you today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Representative Lisa Wilner as one of your big people who influence you and the work you do. I'm curious, who else has helped shape who you are as a person and a psychologist?
That's a great question. I think with advocacy, like I mentioned, Representative Lisa Wilner, but also, and of course, Dr. Sheila Schuster has been a tremendous influence on just her advocacy efforts and her passion. And I, feel like I just keep learning from her. Anytime I have a conversation with her, I just learning. And to be honest, when I got appointed as advocacy chair, I really didn't know a lot about advocacy. I just kind of had a willing heart, I guess, at the time. And it was a huge learning curve for me. And I really appreciate all that I learned from Dr. Schuster. Prior to that, I mean, I know that I had people on the collegiate level and the grad school level who really influenced me. I had, probably too many to say at this point, but at my placement at the Cincinnati VA for my doctoral internship, I also had some really great mentors. So I think I've really been lucky that I've had some powerful mentors, but I do think that community psychology emphasis in graduate school, those psychologists, those professors at the program, I do really feel like that inspired me to do more than clinical work. I love clinical work, but they inspired me to also do community work and look at systems and how they impact individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. How would you define, with that effort that you work towards in advocacy and community work, how would you define those values that inform that work, both in the community work you do and as a clinician?
That's a good question. And it may sound really trite. I really do think compassion is the thread that weaves the two. I just feel like just a sense of having compassion for others. And I know as a clinician, there were times that I got really frustrated because I was not able to impact my clients because I could not impact the systems that were oppressing them. So I'm thinking of the time that I, was working in a community mental health center, and I would have clients that would come in and they didn't have housing and they didn't have a place to sleep that night and they didn't have food. And some of these skills that I learned, these clinical skills to teach them, coping skills, it just, it wasn't what they needed at the moment, because they needed their basic needs met. And some of the reasons why their basic needs weren't being met is because you know, the systems just weren't working. And there were, you know, so I felt really frustrated on a clinical level that I couldn't impact my clients and what they needed. And so I think that, you know, being an advocate, helps me, you know, feel like, okay, I can help people in the therapy room on what they need on an individual basis. And then I can go over here and hopefully impact policy and systems that will hopefully make individuals' lives better. And I think just compassion for, you know, people and wanting, people to have what's healthy for them and to have, you know, just really quality of life and have their basic needs met. That's, I think, one of the things, I guess, that really links the two.
I love that you combine them together, because that's definitely a frustration I felt as well. And like my much fewer clinical experiences than yours, but definitely seeing clients in situations that are so beyond their control and my immediate control, just sitting with them in a therapy room, is, that's a really hard thing to just sit with and feel. So I love the dual approach of just finding, like you said, kind of your sphere of influence, how you can contribute at the larger level. It just seems like the only way to manage those emotions is just by finding how to put yourself to work in some way that however someone can manage with their own situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it, you know, and selfishly, there's probably just, you know, some cognitive dissonance there, right? Where I'm just trying to say, okay, I'm trying to help right now in this therapy room, but I know that I have limited ability to help because, you know, these things are going on right now in the world. And so some of it, you know, it's to be helpful, but then also there is sort of this dissonance about, you know, just, you know, feeling limited and how I, you know, one can be helpful.
Yeah, definitely. What are some other challenges you faced in your career in psychology, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, probably everyone has this issue. I just think sometimes the work-life balance is hard, and there's a lot of things that I've wanted to do, and just the demands in my life and family, and just having the time for everything, and having, you know, being able to manage all the wonderful things I want to do with what, you know, I have this limited, this finite amount of time. So I think just struggling with that and realizing, you know, there's going to be some seasons where I will be able to do more and some I will do less, and hopefully it will all work out and there'll be others who will be able to take on a little bit more in the times where I can't. And hopefully that will be some sort of balance there. That's why I love that group effort approach. So that's definitely been a challenge for me, and just having the heart for something, but just not having, you know, the bandwidth at the moment, which everyone's tired of hearing the word bandwidth after COVID, but that's just, it's a very good word, I guess.
Absolutely. No, I've heard that too from a few interviewees, the same work-life balance difficulty. And I love that you mentioned it's such a big strength of group advocacy efforts that you can lean on each other and phase in and out depending on your capacity or bandwidth. That's a really cool thing about it too. Well, I'm curious too, like, what is your life like away from work, so we can encourage everyone to do the self-care and to find themselves outside of their work as well?
Yes. No, absolutely. I love to be involved in the community in general. So even though some of my nonprofit work is associated specifically with mental health advocacy, I also love to be involved, like, in my kids' school. So I've held different leadership, you know, volunteer positions in the school at the school level. I also, you know, again, kind of makes, you know, cause I want to make sure that I'm helping with basic needs. I, I'm in charge of a food bank program at my church. And so that's something that I like doing. Just try to be involved in different things. I have two teenagers right now, which is fun and challenging at the moment. And I have a husband, and we, you know, life is pretty busy, and also realizing that, you know, it's time limited, that got one kid that, you know, may, you know, hopefully will be going to college in 2 years. And so, just recognizing that, okay, this is time limited. This is how it is right now. So, we enjoy spending a lot of time with them. We like to travel with them. We like to hang out with them. I also love to walk, and run. Sometimes I don't run as much anymore, but I love hanging out with my dog and walking my dog. And that's wonderful. And just connecting with people is good. One of the things I also am very passionate about is that I am a board member for an autism nonprofit that we're really getting going on it right now. It's a group for teens and young adults on the autism spectrum. It's just a place for them to connect and make friends. And it's called Aaron's Hope for Friends, and we are the Kentucky chapter. So we are getting that started right now, and we're getting our space fitted up and interviewing staff members that will hopefully run that. So that's exciting right now in the community to be helping with that and providing a resource that I think is going to be really great.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very cool. I didn't know about that. Sounds like a really interesting nonprofit. Okay. Let's see. What personal strengths do you think are most important in your work?
Some people bring different strengths forward that I think balance whatever strengths that I have. So I think there are people that I work with that I feel like have different strengths, and they're just as important. Mm-hmm. I think just a willingness to try new things. I think just wanting to help, wanting to be involved, willingness to learn, willingness to be open-minded. One of the things I love about KPA is I just feel like I've kept learning. I feel like I just keep learning new things all the time, from, you know, whether it's the actual continuing ed presentations or members, and especially newer members and younger members. I feel like I just keep learning new things and new approaches to look at things. So I think that's really helpful. And I think, you know, when people go to Psychology Day at the Capitol, a lot of times it's their first time. And I think it just really takes that willingness to want to do it. And most of the time people have a really good experience after they go. And we hear that overwhelmingly, that people really like the Psychology Day. They like being involved in advocacy, and it really just takes that willingness to try it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can attest, as a student who has attended the KPA Psychology Day, that it is a wonderful experience for students who aren't really sure how to get involved. So I've definitely loved the chance to do that, because from what I've heard from an APA division that I'm in, it's not the most common thing across all state psychological associations. So it's really cool that we have this unique opportunity here.
Okay, thanks for that feedback. I love when we have so many graduate students involved, and Cotton, we've had undergrads involved too. So I love it when we have a strong turnout, and it makes me feel really good about where the direction we're going in terms of, I just feel like younger psychologists, early career psychologists, are just more attuned, or just they're prioritizing advocacy. They're prioritizing those activities, and they're looking at things differently than I think those, you know, that are closer to my age. And so I'm really, it makes me very optimistic about where we're going.
Yeah. Me too. That's how I keep my energy up, is all my fellow students and cohort members, but, you know, also KPA members in general have been supportive and interested to learn from each other and us, even though it feels like I don't know what to contribute yet. But yeah, no, it is a really special place in that aspect as well. Yeah, well, it looks like we're almost ready to wrap up, but I am curious if you wanted to talk about anything else that you're doing in your work right now that you're really excited about.
It's a great question. I may have already said everything. I'm very excited about the autism nonprofit, because that really is that's where I'm really putting most of my volunteer efforts in right now, just because it's very time sensitive to try to get this going. Hopefully this year we will really be up and running. And so I'm really excited about that. I like the whole like neurodiversity movement in terms of just kind of being more strengths focused. And that's, you know, something I think that has really evolved over time in terms of just really appreciating individuals that are neurodivergent. And so it's one of the things that I'm really excited about, being able to provide a place that really is just about you know, connection and affirmation, and not necessarily like it has nothing to do with treatment. So I'm really excited about that. And you know, I still love being a clinician. I've probably talked about that the least, but I do love staying involved in clinical work. I think that again, I keep learning. I'm you know, I feel like we have more and more ways to help individuals on a clinical level, and that's, you know, something I'm really excited about. I'm very excited about the direction that KPA is going. I think we're really have a lot of energy around advocacy right now, and that was what we, you know, what we wanted to do. You know, when 10 years ago when I first stepped up as advocacy chair, you know, we did not have the member involvement. And so I really think we're headed in the right direction. And I just think people have a better understanding that everything impacts mental health. And, you know, Representative Wilner said that even at our psychology day this year. She said everything is basically mental health, because if people, you know, don't have housing, you know, that's going to impact their mental health. If people don't feel safe in their communities, that's going to impact mental health. If people are facing discrimination, that's going to impact mental health. And so there is so much that I think people are understanding, that we really, you know, we can't be in this silo of treating mental health without addressing the many things that are impacting our mental health. And so I feel like KPA is getting that. I love it. I see so many members involved. And so that makes me very excited.
Absolutely. 100% agree. It's really cool. Is there any last thing that you want to leave listeners with to either get involved if they're interested in helping with the nonprofit, or any other takeaway message as well?
Yes, thank you. I would love to put a plug in for people to get involved in advocacy. I think, you know, one of the easiest ways is just respond to action alerts. So if you receive an action alert from KPA, it, you know, is very easy to call in. And interestingly enough, sometimes, you know, people don't think their voice matters, but your representative or senator may only be getting 5 to 10 calls on that particular issue. And they're going to remember if you're calling. And so they're going to, you know, your constituent, your legislator wants to hear from you. So I think if people could call in, if you see that action alert, I think that's a great, you know, way just to kind of be involved. I think if you are brave enough to try Psychology Day, most people, like I said, is a great experience. And so we don't have the date set for that yet, but it will be early 2024. And most people, you know, really enjoy it. I think people like it being back in person, so now they can also make connections. So I just really encourage people to get involved. If people are uncomfortable getting involved, kind of, you know, advocating on the, you know, legislative side of things, there are plenty of other ways to be involved. I think writing op-eds, I think, is a great way. You know, especially like if you're including the body of scientific research on a specific issue as a psychologist, I think that's a great way to speak up. I think that you also can do some public education efforts. I think that's, you know, one of the things that KPA does really well. And that's the way we're advocating, is we're you know, we're educating the public about what we do, what mental health, you know, what mental health issues are like, and how, what are the best approaches. So that's one of the things I think that we can do. And I think just getting involved in our communities and nonprofit work, I think, is so important. Just volunteering and showing up, and really just showing up for others, I think, is one way or the other is one way we really can advocate.
All right. Well, everyone, you heard it here first. Just show up. That's all you need to do. And you'll find a way to help. I do want to mention, too, for anyone interested, if op-eds pricked your interest, there is going to be a resource soon on KPA, I believe, for a little video on how to write op-eds. And just keep an eye out if there are any op-ed workshops that pop up as well, because we're hoping to do that, I think, annually as an effort. So. Yes, thank you so much again, Dr. Brown. I am so grateful to have this conversation with you and be reinvigorated myself about thinking about how else I can be involved. So I really appreciate you and your work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Okay.